Welcome to the Vending Technology Podcast. We're here again today to talk about the Durbin Amendment, which caps transaction fees on cashless purchases. However, because of the anticipated loss on large ticket services, many of the large banks and credit card companies have announced they will be charging the cap on small ticket transactions. That cap is higher than what the institutions have traditionally charged on vending transactions. So this is of great concern to the industry. We're here today to talk a little bit about how vending operators might be able to address the situation. We're here with Tom Britton, who is a longtime vending industry executive. Tom is currently a consultant whose consultancy is called Britton Management Services, LLC, based in Zephyr Hills, Florida. This is a full-service consultancy to the food and vending industries. He is also a longtime contributing editor to Automatic Merchandiser magazine. So, Tom, transaction fees are not the first transaction fees vending operators have had to charge their customers for cashless transactions. They're simply higher fees than we are used to. But in the past, vending operators have had to deal with transaction fees as well as other ancillary costs. And in some cases, they have been able to pass on some of these costs to their customers. Can you give us an idea how some of these costs have been handled by vending operators in the past?
Yes, certainly. I think when you look at this, you've got to look at a couple groups of companies here. The first group being Big Cola and the largest vending companies, and the second group is pretty much everybody else. If you look back as long ago as even 10 years ago, the aforementioned first group had some sense of that this was coming, and as long as 10 years ago started to write into their contracts some mechanisms to protect themselves to a certain degree from these increased swipe fee costs. And I'll give you an example. One of the clauses that I find is a 10-year-old clause reads, commissions are paid based on cash collected after deducting taxes, deposits, recycling fees, other government-mandated fees, communication charges, shortages, credit and debit card fees, if any. So what that did is it allowed them to, you know, not pay a commission on that expense and to deduct it from gross sales before paying the commission, which was probably okay when swipe fees were 4 or 5%. Now, as you fast forward, and you know, this becomes a dramatic cost increase. The Group 1 companies, the larger companies, have put language in their contract that reads in part, communication charges, credit and debit card fees shall be deducted from location commissions earned. So what that means is it completely deflects any cost to the operator for transition fees and puts it back as a deduction from the commissions payable to the client. Now, those clauses, particularly the last one, may be ideal in the minds of some operators, but I can tell you it's going to be a tough sell for the client. Once those commissions get into somebody's budget, it's pretty hard to take a bite out of them. But one thing's for sure is that it has to be dealt with, and that's perhaps the way that it will be dealt with. I don't think it will be dealt with in the same manner as when an operator gets their annual cost increases in beverage and product cost and goes out and negotiates one by one to offset this. I think that the industry is probably going to look for a contractual permanent fix that floats with the expenses, because these expenses can move around, and I think they're going to.
Okay. And I think that some customers are going to certainly resist any increases in costs that they have to assume. Where do you see cashless vending going at this point?
Well, I think that, you know, we've got to remember that the credit card piece is only one part of this revolution in technology that is sweeping the industry. And, you know, part of it, when I really look at this thing, on a, you know, you can look at it on a two-year basis, a one-year basis, or a 10-year basis. But when I look at this thing in 5 and 10 years, I'm pretty well convinced that credit cards will probably be obsolete. So I think what you need to be thinking about somewhere in your strategic plan is what happens when all of this is done through the electronic wallet or the smartphone, and that's definitely coming. It's out there now with the QR codes that are able to send gift products to other people, and to, if you buy a Snickers bar, you can order flowers for a special occasion with the same transaction. You know, it expands the whole world dramatically of what's possible through vending.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, with cashless payment, is it possible for operators to introduce variable pricing?
That's an interesting topic, and I'm kind of intrigued by that. Unfortunately, and I've talked to some of the technology experts in the industry about this, and the feedback that I'm getting is, no, it is not available at this time. But I think that it's something that the industry should think about. If we were to charge, you know, $1.21 for a Snickers bar or $1.42 for a 20-ounce soda, I think it would help to put the vending industry on level with the convenience stores, which has been one of the major competitors to the industry. I don't think a lot of people will remember this, but there was a time in the industry when there was odd penny pricing, and that came about in the 50s when long king-size cigarettes were invented, and they were a higher-priced product. So Lucky's and Camel's were still 25 cents, but the king-size cigarettes were 28 cents. You paid 30 cents into the machine, and you got 2 pennies back in the pack. So that's a little ancient information there, but I think it's kind of interesting. Now, that was crude by today's standards, but it did work. So I think if today's technology could come up with something where there could be two-tier pricing, one for cash and one for a credit card or debit card, where there would be a straight pass-through to the end consumer, it just could be that the end consumer will be willing to have a little bit of a trade-off for the sake of convenience of using that card.
Okay. And do you have any sense as to how difficult it would be for the technology providers to do that?
Well, no, I don't really. They've done so many other marvelous things. I would certainly think that they can come up with it. One of the things that I do find interesting is, particularly on colleges and university campuses, where students make purchases from vending machines with their all-campus card, it's common to have a 10% discount on that purchase to get the students to use the all-campus card. So, I mean, if they can do that, then this wouldn't seem to be that much of a challenge to me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, I think we've covered some interesting points here. Is there anything else you think is worth mentioning at this point?
No, I think that it's pretty dramatic, and it's very ironic that the industry is just now gaining traction with the technology and the cashless, and they were rather slow to move in the past 5 or 10 years, but they're now gaining traction, and to have this come up at this time is, to say it's bad luck is an understatement, I think.
Okay, and I think I should mention before we sign off that there are some efforts going on in government, in the legislature today, to try to overturn the Durbin Amendment. And in the meantime, our National Trade Association, NAMA, is working with some of the large institutions to see if they can get them to reconsider the rates that they've indicated they're going to be charging on cashless transactions for small ticket purchases. Okay, well, Tom, I appreciate your time, and we'll talk again when we have another critical issue to discuss.
Looking forward to it, and thank you, Elliot.
Okay. Mm-hmm.